WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Everybody knows we're powered up, and our wise conversations around here in the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is coming to you, presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We will be in Timonium, as the coach would say, on Friday at the OTB. Knicks OTB in the Grandstand Grill, moving from downtown. We're going to go out there and have a crab cake, some great conversation. Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global is going to join us as well. Hope to see some folks out there on Friday. This guy's done the Timonium tour with me, north, south, east, west, has held the Lombardi Trophy, came back to town to tell about it on Monday night with Haloti Ngata. We welcome our head coach on behalf of the Living Classrooms Foundation, Brian Billick joins. You can find him at Coach Billick, but not like on TV so much, but a lot on the Ravens.com lately. Coach, I saw you in town the other night. All the alums get together. Colts did us dirty, and then all of a sudden, Lamar put on a show for you and Haloti and anybody else that wanted to see on Monday.
Yeah, that was spectacular. I mean, the way the game was going, you had that sense that, okay, this is not going to go well, that the Ravens just couldn't put it together. Indianapolis did a beautiful job of moving the ball. That's the part that surprised me the most, is that against that defense. And then in that fourth quarter and those last five series, the offense just, and Lamar, and it was fun to see, because, you know, the topic of conversation for a long part is, okay, they're unique in the way they do it, and they run the ball and they throw the ball, but Lamar, is he really progressing as a quarterback? Well, they didn't run the ball well, and they even got to the point where they didn't even try to run the ball anymore, and Lamar was able to do it from the pocket as a quarterback, not running the ball, but throwing the ball. And so that had to be exciting for Raven fans.
Do you stand shocked at all that this has been accomplished here? And I we'll get to the defense and the problems with all that, but just that this kid seems to really get off on people not believing in him or putting a limitation on him, because the growth mindset that I continue to see from him is sort of that whatever it takes that special guys have. And I know every time you draft a quarterback, you want them to be special and you want them to get better. I think the one part from you being the coach side of this, he really does get better in almost every measurable way.
Yeah, this is the first time we've seen him, I think, as we talked about it before. I think it was a fair observation that, okay, is he ever going to be that kind of quarterback from the pocket? And my answer has been probably not. I don't know that he's ever going to be something that we're used to seeing producing from the pocket as a quarterback. But that's okay, because the way he does it, which is totally unique in terms of running the ball in combination, still not sure he's going to be a 500 plus throw guy, because the balance they want is run the ball and throw the ball. But we saw that the other night. This is the first time I've seen Lamar be put into a position where the trifecta of defense isn't playing well, you can't run the ball, and you're behind. So you're going to have to throw this game on the quarterback's back, which they're used to doing and they've done with him, and you're going to have to throw the ball 40 plus times to do it. This is the first time I can remember those three things coming into play, and obviously they stepped up in spectacular fashion.
All right, Coach Brian Billick joining us here in the Haloti Ngata celebration. And, you know, I still get the bad vibe on the Colts, Coach. I mean, I say I let it go, and then I go downtown and I see one of the jerseys, and it kind of all comes back to me. What comes back to you? You only come in here once a year now. It's been getting a little further away, probably staying in a hotel, you know.
Yeah, it was. I made the mistake of driving to the stadium, which was, going through Federal Hill and all that. But just actually enjoyed the amount of activity and the things going on, the bands and the party and the tailgating and the whole thing was absolutely incredible. And the fan, and I know it's a Monday night, the night, you know, adds a different dimension to it than usually in the day, but it was spectacular. And the great energy, it was great to see all the guys, great to see Haloti and his young family and reconnect with everybody. And so as usual, anytime I come back, last time I was here was in my induction 2 years ago, 2019. In fact, the first time I got on a plane in 2 years was to come this weekend.
Wow. Head Coach Brian Billick joining us here. All right, so I'll get back to Lamar. We can talk about the Chargers and all that, but I can't have you on without talking about the Urban Meyer and the Gruden thing and leaders. I'll say this in front of anybody. I mean, I've known you for what feels like forever, but the kind of character and the integrity you have and the people, Coach, I'll tell you, my back's been killing me. I was in the press box Monday night. I went to the bathroom in the press box and the 35 pictures there from Tampa, the one in the sun that you're in the middle, Marvin's to your right. We all look a little younger. But yeah. I looked, I saw Jack.
So let me get this straight. That first Super Bowl has been, put into the bathroom?
Not you with the trophy. That's not the front door. No, it's by the door. It's to be admired on the way in.
Oh, okay.
But I looked and I saw you. I saw Mike Smith. I saw Rex. I saw Jack. I just saw these people of character and reputation. And I think to myself, guys getting hired, you never got hired again. I'm not sure that you really wanted to, except in certain circumstances. But what you're charging the leader of your organization at $10 million a year to do structurally with football and fans and marketing and all of those responsibilities that you know far more about than I do, but at the heart of it, that you could be capable of that sort of language. I've spent a lot of time around you with beer, without beer, privately, in any way, to have guy talk or locker room talk, whatever you would call it. This is just a different level that I think fans are appalled and don't know about. You've been in on it, and I've said there's probably more of this that's going on to some degree, and that it's very, very disturbing, I think, to the culture, to everyone, to think that this could be going on behind closed doors.
Yeah, and it's the sign of our times. I want to be careful here. You don't want to be too judgmental, because we all of us have said and done stupid things that we regretted, and maybe even not at the time, but came to realize. We live in a environment now where, and that's the thing that head coaches or anybody in a position like that has to keep in mind, is that when you take on that job now, this goes hand in hand and part and parcel. That
I love your dogs, by the way.
I know who let the dogs out? My wife just got home. So.
There you go. Ray Lewis. I love that. Give me a Ray Lewis reference.
Hopefully you can work through this one.
That's fine.
Is that you're going to have, in today's environment, everybody's going to crawl through every orifice of your body, your private life, everything that you do. That's the thing that you is the hard thing. And you're always trying to communicate it to the players. That's the disappointing thing here, that both these coaches, like every coach, are constantly warning their players on a regular basis. Particularly when you have time off, be aware of where you're at. Don't be out late doing stupid stuff. Pause before you press send or anything you're tweeting. You just got to give it a lot of thought. And this is a prime example of it. And that's just the world we're in right now.
But I think the person hearing you say that, and the coach voice and the paternal way and your leadership and all that you're known for. All right. I buy all of that. But when it comes from someone that's actually doing it, then that becomes a whole different. I think that's for the league. It's not a good look. I mean, especially all that the league's gone through. And, you know, I see Booger McFarland up saying the league's trying to make changes and they're trying to do it. And I'm thinking, they're 4 years away from blackballing Colin Kaepernick here. Right. You know, we're not that far down the line. Although, you know, Roger drinking cocoa and putting end racism here and Black Lives Matter there, that the league is conflicted in a lot of ways because of the people involved in the league and some sort of old world mentality that gets out of the bag when Dan Snyder acts poorly or when any of the old timers don't fall in line.
It's what you just said, though. But then the real people get involved. It's all well and good as a league, as an entity, or as an organization to have these lofty goals and aspirations. And this is what we want to be and this is what we want to aspire to be. But then real people get involved and real people carry with them a lot of issues, a lot of things that need to be resolved. That's not to say that this shouldn't be resolved and shouldn't be brought to light and shouldn't be a priority for the league, but it is very human and humans make mistakes. And these were big mistakes. These were huge mistakes. And that's going to be a part of it, whether it's the players, whether it's my question becomes, it'll be interesting because I guess there's better than 600,000 emails. Those that got drawn into that kind of chatter with Coach Gruden And what was their response? And how are they going to be judged or viewed? Because we've all done it, regrettably, when someone says or does something inappropriate, we just try to ignore it. We smirk. We just, you know, we let it pass. We don't address it. Does that passivity bring its own price? And that's going to be the next shoe to drop, in my opinion.
Anytime we have Coach Billick on, you know we're having a Wise Conversations. All of our Wise Conversations presented by Wise Markets. And, of course, we're working on the back-to-school program with them. Halloween's coming around the corner. Coach, for where the Ravens are in this, I always use your line. I steal a lot of your lines, not the wedge, but other ones. Like, it's all sitting there. You know what I mean? At 4-1, I don't look at this team and say, well, they're 4-1. They're destined to be 15-2 or whatever it would be. I think the defense certainly needs some work at this point. And I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know that the personnel's there, the linebackers, the second line. Carson Wentz ran them pretty ragged.
Well, they, you know, the defense, the issues when you look at it, they've been banged up in the secondary. They don't have that singular dominant pass rusher, particularly off the edge. We're always trying to find the complement to whether it's a Terrell Suggs or the, you know, whoever they add in. They don't even have that one guy, which dictates where your protections go. I think where the Ravens are right now, and it's an exciting thing for the league, in my opinion, there is no dominant team in the NFL right now. AFC or NFC, dominant. I mean, last couple of years, Kansas City has been dominant, okay? As you went through even San Francisco in their run, they were a dominant team that year. They went to the Super Bowl. Green Bay was, you know, obviously. Tampa Bay, second half of the season last year, was a dominant team. Tampa may still be that, maybe the one qualifier, but particularly in the AFC, there are some really good teams. Baltimore, Kansas City, the Charger team that's coming in. And Justin Herbert, this is going to be a battle royale. Justin Herbert, this guy's on pace for better than 40 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. I mean, and he and Lamar, this is going to be a track meet. So this is going to be a good game. But I don't think anybody can lay claim, particularly in the AFC, or let the crown lie too lightly, because on any given week, and we've seen it, because there's only one, I can't remember this early in the season where we only had one undefeated team, and that's Arizona. And I don't know that Arizona's a dominant team. They're clearly a good team, but I don't think they're a dominant team.
What's your dog's name?
Which one? I got three. Truman,
one at your feet, the one that loves you.
Oh,
yeah, the one that just came in.
Jack always takes care of me. He's he likes to be on the radio.
How are you doing? I mean, yeah, give me a little update, because everybody saw you on stage and they'll be like, hey, Billick and Nestor, they're talking to, you know, are you? Give me granddad duty
great.
And all that, man.
This loving the grandkids. We're back in Columbus, but I will tell you, never thought these words would come out of my mouth. I have become addicted to golf. How about that? Played my first round of golf June 1.
I've seen you hit a golf ball. It wasn't pretty.
Oh, hey, it's well, yeah, amazing thing now is, and I mean, I've worked at it and had a teaching pro, and I love it. Absolutely.
Why?
Love it.
Why?
I'm, you know what? There's something about the rhythm of the game, the fact that it's just you. You're just competing with yourself. You're not competing with anybody else, because I can't do anything to affect the other guy's game other than just play.
I can't believe you.
Oh, I know.
I mean, dude, you urinated upon golf for all
always.
That I knew you.
Yeah. Now I'm obsessed with it. And I will tell you this, I'm on in regulation every hole, and then proceed to five putt every green.
Well, you didn't go to Ocean City in the summer and play putt putt back when you were a kid. That's probably the problem, you California guys, you know.
Embarrassing how badly I putt. So that's my next challenge.
All right. Well, I want to get together with you one day and just talk about no sports at all, and just talk about like life and how your biking's going and how your wife's doing and your dogs and your grandkids and skiing. And like, I want to do all of that. But meanwhile, the football's pretty good to talk about right now. This is good. This
is
fun, right?
Because just like we said, I think it's, you know, the league tends to be homogeneous in that you're all kind of clumped together, one or two games over or under 500. There's always outliers, some really, really good, and a couple really, really bad. Well, we got a couple really bad teams. Like I said, I don't think we have – I think that curve is as tight as it's been. Now, we're only a quarter way through the season, so, you know, we'll wait and see how it plays out. But it's as tightly – if I'm not a better, as you know, but if I were, I would not sleep well, because the lines and one team versus the other in a given week – I don't know how you make that bet.
you know, I'm not a bettor either, and I know you couldn't bet or have any part of it, but now that you're golfing and the league's trying to get everybody to bet, right? I'm not going to write off that you and I 20 years from now won't be sitting around talking. I don't know, but I'm blown away. Like the boating thing, I understood with you. You know what I mean? The exploration of the world, the athlete thing. I didn't think you would want to be a guy that would hit a ball and get in a cart and drive it to the next hole and hit it again. I just never saw you as that guy. Yeah, I didn't even see you as even remotely interested in golf when we spent days on golf tournaments. You didn't like
driving the beer truck. And although it occurred to me when we would do that, we would do the charity events and I didn't play. So I'd get in the beer cart and I'd drive the beer cart around and all the holes and get to meet everybody. And I would get through that, whatever the event was, and think, you know what? I haven't picked up a golf club in my life and I could beat the half the guys I just saw. So I figured this is worth
it. What was your curve on getting good enough that you enjoy it? I mean, it's not my thing. It just isn't. I mean, in any way, I did a whole thing on pickleball last week. Kevin Byrne texted me and told me pickleball. Yeah. First time I'd ever heard of it. And then five people mentioned pickleball to me last month to the point where I had to do a segment on it. So what old retired competitive, ultra competitive humans get into, I just never thought golf would. I don't know what I thought you would get into.
Well, pickleball's perfect because it's an old person sport because it doesn't beat you up. You know, as you know, I used to love tennis, but the tennis beats me up on the court and it just the joints and I'm 67 years old and it just would beat me up. Racquetball, Kevin Byrne and I used to play racquetball to the death. And right now it would be to the death if we tried to play because
he's going to get you playing pickleball then.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah, we play pickleball around here. We're just getting started, but the
you
golf
played
thing
it? Is just, pickleball?
Yes. Yeah. They've got a couple courts here at the club.
And, I knew it was for old guys. That's what I said last week. It's for older people. It's bridge for like the modern generation.
Cause you don't have to move a lot. You don't have to move as much. So it's a good old person's game. And I'm an old person.
I love you, man. Thanks for coming on. It's always good to see you. Well, appreciate your partnership and your time. It was great seeing you in town and great seeing the band get back together. You guys are important to us. You know that.
Always good.
Hey, Coach Brian Billick. You can follow him at Coach Billick out on the Twitter thing. He stops by. He's still our partner on behalf of the Living Classrooms Foundation. Despite maritime magic, James Baum, we're going to get that back together again. James was given an honor last month, too, so I threw him a note. We're going to try to find him.
Well deserved.
We're going to get him on in the next couple of weeks here as we get back into it. It's my birthday week. We're celebrating with the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday. We're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill at the OTB in Timonium. That's 2 to 5. Hope to see you there. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I am Nestor. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Snapchat. Anywhere you are, we are. WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.